I'm Todd Van Dyke filling in on this segment for Rick Allen on Copper Country Today. It has been kind of an interesting day as we're recording this on Friday. Rick is at the Houghton County Courthouse covering the prisoner who escaped this morning. And I am here in the studio talking with State Representative Scott Dianda. Hi, Scott.
How are you this morning? Good to see you.
It's just really, I don't know what time it is.
Well, you know what? I think that was my error, too. It is good afternoon.
Well, it's afternoon as we speak. It's morning as we're on the air, and we hope that the prisoner has been captured, but we don't know that the prisoner has been captured yet as we talk.
So. Well, our fine sheriff of Houghton County gets his man all the time. I'm sure they're going to have him very quickly.
So let's start with your brand new proposal to provide more money to local sheriff's departments for protecting prisoners while they're in.
Well, that's something, Todd, that you know I've talked with our sheriff in Houghton County about, and our other sheriffs in the other six counties, is that you know our jail systems out there are antiquated, and we do have to look at updating our jails. And one of them, right in our backyard, is the Houghton County jail issue, and that's something that we have to find a solution for. I'm telling you, this is an example of having to transport prisoners back and forth between the courthouse and the jail, and I mean, it's been an issue for the last many years of discussion, but this is what hits home a lot of times. You know, the technology has changed where people can be incarcerated in the jail and having some technology to be able to have their arraignments in that. Because there's a lot of danger out there when you start bringing people back and forth. We got some dangerous characters out there, and we don't want them on the loose at all.
Well, and I brought that up kind of tongue-in-cheek, but you are right. There was a millage issue, what was it, 6-7 years ago now, here in Houghton County, where they tried to get money to build an expanded facility, and that didn't fly. We're not the only county facing this, are we?
No, we're not. I mean, you know, when we look at our other counties that are in my district, 110th district out there that we serve, and, you know, a lot of people got a lot of challenges because these systems are old and they need remodeling. And I'm not saying that we need a brand new facility, but we definitely got to have something because we cannot have a problem like we do now.
There has been some discussion in Lansing, I know, over the past few weeks and months about a couple of different proposals that would perhaps cut down on the prison population. One would be the first underage DUI offense being turned into a civil infraction instead of a misdemeanor. And that would, the proponents of that say that it would cut down a little bit on some of this activity and also maybe give kids a chance to recover from it. Of course, we had it that way in Michigan for a number of years, and the opponents of this proposal say it didn't work. What are you hearing about that?
Well, what I'm hearing out right now, Todd, is a lot of the new technology with being able to have people on tethers for not having them incarcerated. I mean, I think that that's something that has to be very looked at and scrutinized between law enforcement and our judicial system, because, I mean, we got to make sure it's right, number one, for public safety. You know, if there's going to be an issue with public safety, that's number one in my book. We got to protect people. But on the other aspect of it, you know, to look at our costs and what is our cost going to be, and can we really get these folks early and to have them in a setting where they're going to get treatment, they're going to get help, and we're going to create a better citizen out of them. So that's, you know, how I look at that situation. I just think, too, that we should probably, you know, really look at where we're going to go with this prison population in Michigan, because if the state of Michigan is going to start pushing people out into our communities, and if they do get in trouble, they are going to end up on our dime on the county level. So that's a big concern with me about how they want to reduce a lot of this prison population and where are they going to end up. That's a big concern with us.
The national media has been looking at Michigan now and projecting that we might be the next state to decriminalize small possession of marijuana. Would that serve to empty out some of our jail cells?
Yes, I think that probably would. But again, you know, I think that it goes case by case basis on a lot of these criminals, too. I mean, depending on what they were involved with, I'm very always cautious when it comes to the crime and what they have done, you know, on a one-on-one basis. I mean, if it's very small, minute, whether or not they're not selling or it's not, you know, a big amount in possession, but anything more, I'm concerned with it.
Yeah, and that kind of dovetails into a proposal that you have had going through the state legislature that's kind of gotten derailed at this point in terms of another substance that could be abused, and that is, explain powdered alcohol to me.
Yes, powdered alcohol is a product that's out in many other states, and what it does, it's a concentrated powder in a form that is able to be put into water or Coca-Cola, any type of liquid, and then it would turn back into a drink. And that is something that I partnered up with Senator Rick Jones, who's a Republican out of Grand Ledge, who's a former sheriff. I have the bill in the House, and Rick has it in the Senate. This is something to ban it in Michigan altogether. And the concerns that we both share is the fact that it's public safety on the children of our state. Because this is being marketed in other areas where it is looking like Kool-Aid products. I mean, it has all these fancy names on it. It's just also something that, you know, it's going to be an experimental type thing. You know, we look at the liability for the businesses. Me being a private sector guy, having a party store, knowing that a lot of my friends that operate restaurants and bars around this 7-county area, that, you know, somebody could be using this product illegally in your establishment, and then they get into an accident, and how are we going to prove that it wasn't their product that caused that death or accident?
A significant liability issue.
Very
there,
much,
isn't there?
And that is something that, you know, me being a licensed retailer for the state of Michigan, you know, I very important to me about public safety, because that's what it comes down to. And I think that it's just pure evil how some of these companies want to market this to make it look like it's a candy type product where it's attractive to younger people. And I'm talking about very young people. I mean, people that are under 12 years old. I mean, is this something that, you know, is really going to be good for our communities and our society in Michigan? I don't think so.
It would seem also to pose a challenge to law enforcement. I mean, obviously you can take a beer or you can take a bottle of wine and pour it into some other container.
Right.
But this wouldn't have a container. It would look like Kool-Aid.
This would look like anything that you could be drinking. It could be clear in a water bottle. This could be in an energy drink. This could be something that is another big concern with us too, with Senator Jones and myself, is just the fact that this gets snuck in like any type of a deep rape type of setting drug, that you could pour this unsuspecting on somebody's food or in somebody's liquid. If they're drinking a coffee, some of it could be not even having any flavor. So, I mean, this is something that can be turning out to be a nightmare for us in Michigan. And I just, in knowing the background with how we control alcohol in the state of Michigan, very scrutinously, we put a lot of parameters on who can buy it and who is selling it, and there's responsibility with our law enforcement. And this is just something that's just wide open. And we had so much support in our hearings. We just had a joint hearing in Lansing in front of my committee, regulatory reform. Senator Jones and myself testified, and that was something that was overwhelming, that we had support from, you know, the medical society. We had it from law enforcement. Everybody is with us on this issue. There was nobody that came to that hearing that said, no, I think you two folks are wrong with this legislation. I think we need this in Michigan.
And the concept that you could put this into something which would not necessarily be compatible with alcohol, you could throw it into an energy drink and cause some real health problems for someone.
Yes, you could. I mean, this would be something too, you know, if you're having high blood pressure and you got reactions to alcohol and you're unsuspecting of this, I mean, this could be very fatal to a lot of people.
So what is the future of this?
Well, the future of this is, I think that what's going to happen is we're going to have to take some ownership on the responsibility of this in Michigan. And that's why, you know, going probably into the next segment, I'm going to also offer up the fact that I'm looking very forward to getting called back to work here, because we are back on a legislative break for the next 3 weeks here. I will be in the district, but the roads are coming up because the senators are taking a look at a plan that we sent over from the House. And I'm hoping that we go back to work next week and I'll be able to push a little harder along with my Senator Rick Jones to be able to get this voted on into the on the floor, because this is something that needs to be done, and it takes precedent also for public safety. But, you know, the big one's coming up is the roads, Todd. We got to get this done.
Yeah.
I know we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm Todd Van Dyke. I'm filling in for Rick Allen on this segment of Copper Country Today. State Representative Scott Dianda is my guest. You have been serving on this select committee that's been trying to find a solution to the road problems. You were, I suspect, not at all surprised that ballot issue didn't work.
I was not shocked one bit. I think that, you know, I looked at a lot of the polling data that was going on a couple weeks ahead of time, and it was looking like it was sinking a lot, because there was just a lot of things on there that a lot of people didn't understand. And if we cannot explain something to somebody in 1 minute, we lose them a lot of times on these issues. A lot of people go and vote on ballot initiatives, and they got to read more than three lines. I mean, a lot of people just, they're not comfortable with it, and the easiest thing to do is no. So it did not surprise me that that initiative went down as bad as it did. I think that, you know, that was ultimately what I told a lot of people that asked me before the ballot initiative of what I thought. And my thoughts were, I was one of the 18 people in the House out of 110 that voted not to put it on the ballot because it was just kicking it down the road another 6 months. And we, you know, in my opinion, we lost some more construction seasons in Michigan to get some of this road work done.
You drive on the downstate freeways because you travel obviously back and forth to Lansing. I drive on some occasionally when I make trips downstate. People up here who don't drive downstate and see those big freeways, is there a full understanding here of how bad those roads are?
Well, I think that if our folks in the 110th district in these seven counties look at how our county roads are and some of our county areas with local roads, they could probably get a pretty good idea, because that's on a lot of those major expressways on 94 and on 75 are in that type of shape. And it is treacherous, and we have to get this stuff fixed. This is just, you know, it's going to hold back Michigan for job creation. It's going to hold back on a lot of issues. And I think that, you know, it is to the point where we have to get something done. And I'm very optimistic that our senators are going to be able to come up with a solution also. We sent them something from the House side. It was not a lot of money. It was only $400 million. So $400 million is not going very far in the whole scheme of our road system. $400 million would be well welcomed in the 110th district to fix our county roads and our local and our city streets.
But then there's the rest of the state.
Then there's the rest of the state.
They'll want some too, won't they?
They all want some too.
And some of these greedy folks.
Well, some of these projects that they're looking at in lower Michigan, I mean, when they start throwing these numbers around, it's staggering. But when you look at the cost of inflation and what we built in the 1950s, we can only imagine what the costs are going to be going ahead. We know what it would cost to build a garage up here probably 25 years ago and for what it would be today.
Oh, so trying to duplicate the interstate highway system today?
Yes.
Oh, my word.
Yes.
You think about the investment that was made.
Major investment.
At that point, there has been a lot of talk that maybe some of the money for roads should come out of Michigan's economic development promotional funds. Is that a wise idea?
Well, that was something that I voted against on, Todd, because what I felt is that for our future, we need more jobs. We don't need any less. And I think that's twofold up here in our area. It just shows how wonderful it works when it's done right. We have the Michigan Tech Smart Zone along with the partnership at the Juntila Center with Finlandia. Totally wonderful things happen. Money was spent, jobs were created. I'm a very big partner in that whole process. I think that they're doing the right thing. Has there been problems across the state for a lot of businesses that took money and didn't produce jobs? Correct. I think there's always a bad apple in the barrel, but we see the success of that program, and I do want to say that no matter who's in the governor's office, they need tools out there to be able to attract industry into our state, and sometimes they got to be able to pull something in to say, here, we will help you to get you in the door as long as you hire people. And I think that that toolbox gets a little bit light for who's ever in the governor's office.
I know they just voted to cut back the film incentives. Wise move?
I think, in my opinion, it was not a wise move. It was $50 million. And the reason I say this is because I get a chance to take my nieces and nephews sometimes to the movies. And, you know, you go to these big movies where these comic book movies over the years, and there's just always another one coming out. And they're billion-dollar films. So I think that, you know, because the Batman Superman movie was filmed in Detroit, I think that, how about the next one? How about the one after that? Is this going to be something that's just going to continue like the movies that we saw when we were younger with sequels? And I think that we may miss out on that opportunity. So I think, again, that's something that, you know, especially to have the executive and the state have a little bit more of a cushion there to be able to find the next great industry to pull them in here. And I think that, you know, it was not a wise move to do that. I think that everything has to be managed, and there has to be parameters on what's going to come, and there's got to be some ratings on how much was created on it. But I think that they have to have a tool there.
You mentioned economic development locally. As you and I speak here on Friday afternoon, you're about to go to the ceremony where Houghton County is going to be recognized as an internet-connected community. That's a big thing these days.
That is so huge for us up here, and it's just the fact that, you know, we are being able to operate anywhere in the world globally because of this. And I think that it just gives a lot of our younger people who are entrepreneurs to see that they can stay here, create business, do intellectual properties, do any type of business right here in this area. I think that's something that is just so spectacular, and I'm so proud of these accomplishments that they're doing. We need more of this, and I think that, you know, just we have the example here in this area, we need to expand this across the whole UP so we can have people that are going to come in here and create these businesses and stay and educate their kids here. I mean, we've got everything. You know, we talk about this a lot between the two of us. We got the best. We got the best in the world right here.
we
have the best lifestyle that you could ask for, having everything around us, but we need more economics with jobs.
And we know that there are things where we can't compete. We're not close to major population centers. There aren't major freeways coming through here. There is no rail transportation to the Copper Country anymore. Big ships don't stop here anymore. Transportation has always been an issue. But for so many industries, high-speed internet is an equalizer. You can set up any place.
Yes, I think that this is something that is, you know, the future, and it has been over the last 10 years of just seeing how businesses are conducted these days, you know, with the brick and mortar warehousing. I mean, we've got things that are changing. We got people that can do any type of business on the internet. And I think there's just so much room for that to be done here because we have so many creative people here. We got people that are very much inventors, and we have people that are wanting to do so many different things. And that just opens up a whole nother avenue. That's our new train line of the future, is the internet. And to be able to have the technology here in the UP and have the quality of life, I think that we'll be hands down for anybody that wants to come and set up.
We've seen so much progress in Houghton County in particular in the last few years. The Smart Zone has had a lot to do with that. There are a couple of counties at least that are still lagging behind, certainly Baraga County, Onondaga County, Gogebic County is not setting the world on fire at this point. How do we take what we have learned in Houghton County and expand it into those other counties to get them on board as well?
Well, and that's something that I definitely every day have on my mind. It's just, what are we doing right up here? And this is something we're doing right. We have to expand the high-speed broadband out into these other counties, because I think that we have other counties that are just as beautiful as in this backyard that we enjoy. And Baraga County has the people down there that want to do things, and they got to have the technology. They got to have the tools to do it. And I think that that's something that can be done, because especially we have the opportunity to reuse a lot of these businesses and buildings that we have that are vacant. I think that that's a big plus for a lot of people that want to start up. Our costs per square foot in the UP is a bargain. It's a basement bargain for having real estate, but you got to have a connector to the global economy, and that's something with the broadband that we got to have. And I think we have it. I think we got the people, we got the business sense to do it. We got to have that tool. That's the ultimate tool.
And not just business real estate, but for the employees, personal real estate, residential real estate. You go downstate and you compare the cost of a house there to the same cost of an equal house here. It's night and day.
It's night and day, Todd. And, you know, that's one thing that I bring down when I go to Lower Michigan. I always bring the catalogs for the real estate books, and I leave them in my office. And I got people that come in, and before and after meetings, they're in the vestibule and they're looking at them, and they are going to me, these are like prices from the 1970s. And you know, that's the other thing, that it drives more investment from everybody outside of our area looking at what a place to retire, what a place to be able to come up and look for a job once we have those things, because our housing is available. It's great housing. And we've got infrastructure that here that, you know, we could never recreate in today's economy.
Well, and I'm one of those people. I bought a house, a very modestly priced house in Lawrence. I love my neighborhood.
Yes.
I love living in Lawrence. I could never have afforded to do that in a major market downstate. It would have been out of my reach. And so I benefit from it, and I know other people are benefiting from it as well.
I have that same benefit. Being in an 1872 home in Calumet, four generations, I love it. I love to be up in our area. I love the communities, love to be able to be in a part of a neighborhood. And that's something that, you know, sometimes you don't have that luxury in these other areas of Michigan, that you're living in a subdivision and everything looks cookie cutter. I mean, yeah, you got some unique things up here and I'm proud of it.
The budget is in place and it has been signed. Governor Snyder is very proud of having gotten five budgets done in what I have to say is very workmanlike fashion compared to the budget process that existed in previous administrations, where they were waiting up until the last minute to get things done. I was very pleased to see that there was a fairly significant amount for higher education in this budget. The folks at Michigan Tech just backed off on their proposed tuition increase because of that. Was there a fight to get that in there? Because at one point there were people saying there might not be any budget increase for higher education.
Well, I think that, you know, in a bipartisan spirit, that has been a discussion with a lot of us representatives and senators, is that we have to make sure that the money is there for higher education. You know, and it's got to be a priority, because what happens if we put the money on the backs of these students that are going to come out with a lot more debt because of this, you know, they're going to be paying interest back on this money. And I think this is one of the things that we all come together on, is that it affects the economy when a lot of these students come out and they got huge amount of debt that they're trying to pay off. They can't afford to buy a home. They can't afford to start a family. You know, there's a lot of things that they can't afford to do, they have to do without. And I think that, you know, we all have tough times and we're trying to do the best of what we have with it, but I just like to see that we focus on good things rather than put some resources into things that are questionable in some budgets.
Yeah, MTU President Glenn Meraz and I have had this discussion, and it's one thing to come out of Michigan Tech, where the graduates come out and fairly typically start in relatively high salary positions. It's another thing to come out of one of our other institutions into a field where the starting salary with your college degree may be $22,000, $24,000 and have to be paying off a $100,000 loan. That's frightening.
It is. It's very frightening. And I'll tell you what, that's why, you know, with our other community colleges, with KBIC, with Gilgibic Community College, with Finlandia-Beener as a private university, Northern. I mean, we've got a lot of opportunities for people, but they have to have an opportunity to get there first, to be accepted, to get there first, and they got to have a path to have a way to pay this money back. And I think that is one of the biggest concerns, and in a bipartisan way, that we all think about this in Lansing. How is the future going to look for these folks that are coming out who invested a lot of time and a lot of money, and they're paying a lot of interest? Where we got to make sure we got those jobs. I think that's got to be the biggest focus we have out there together.
When I was in college in the 1970s, Central Michigan University, the state subsidized my education 75%. That subsidy now is down around 20%, I believe.
Yes, that's correct.
Is there room in our budget to try to put a dent back the other direction in that?
Well, I think there is a way to do it. And like you mentioned before, what the budget has been done in the last 5 years, I give everybody that was involved in the process a lot of credit, including the governor. I am a big fan of being able to go back to the old days where we would look at every individual department and vote on each one of those individually and take a look at them and scrutinize them. Because I think there's a lot of room for improvement. I also worked at the state for 9 years, and I just think that if we could do it a little slower and maybe take an extra 30 days and spend a little more time down there, and I don't mind being downstate. I travel back and forth every week, and I think that, you know, if we had to stay down there another 30 days to really get into the meat and potatoes of this, we could probably take a little bit more out of some of these agencies and put them in an area like higher ed where we could get a good bang for the buck also. So I'm definitely there, Todd, on that whole issue. I hope that in the future we can get that to the back to that process. Because there, then it's not just an up or down vote on the total budget. It's individual.
There has been, once again, some talk about perhaps allowing community colleges to move into offering four-year degrees in some subjects. Good idea?
Well, I tell you what, I think that that's something that we should really take a good look at, and we should try to support that initiative, because especially up here, I mean, we're lucky to have some good partnerships with our community colleges across Upper Michigan, And people can take a four-year degree, and a lot of people can take it in a long segment of time. And that's something that I'm very impressed with the community college setting, is that if somebody wants to do a eight-year plan because they're working and they're trying to do, you know, come through this, and by the time they come out, they don't have a lot of that debt, I'm for that. I'm definitely for making sure that we have the opportunity for everyone and not just have it scoped in one spot.
Yeah, I wouldn't see that affecting Michigan Tech, for example, negatively from the start. There might be some other Michigan four-year colleges that would be negatively affected, those that are currently offering degrees in those disciplines that would be opened up. How do you make it up to those colleges if they start to see their enrollments decline?
Well, I think that, you know, it comes back to it's having the best setting for the best buck, and I think that it sharpens everybody up to making sure that, you know, you're having a customer-based group of people that are coming in to look at you, and then you really sharpen up your programs and you start really coming up with some initiatives. And I think it's not so much just set on for what we do to make it up for them for a financial from the legislative body, but I think it would sharpen everybody's game.
So you're going to be in the district, unless you get called back, you're going to be in the district for the next several weeks.
Yes,
you're going to be
will.
Out and about. Will I see you at Pasty Fest
I
next week?
I will be at Pasty Fest, and I was very honored to be a judge at Pasty Fest. And I'll tell you what, Todd, that is an honor. That is something I would never turn down. You know,
yeah, you think politics is rough. Try being a judge at Pasty Fest.
You got to be a judge at a Pasty Fest in Upper Peninsula. You got to be tough, and we are.
Scott Dianda, thank you for coming by. Look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you very much, Todd.
Representative Scott Dianda on Copper Country Today.